Well, today what I want to do is I want to continue. Actually, we're going to conclude our current collection of talks called Created for Community. So why don't we do this, bow our heads one more time and ask God's blessing on the word. Father, we thank you for your word. Ask a blessing on it this morning. Pray that it would go and do all that you desire for it to accomplish, that it would accomplish. And God, we just pray and thank you for this time. It's in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. So if you have your Bibles this morning, what I want to encourage you to do is go to the go-to text for this series, and that is Acts chapter 2. So there's a Bible right in front of you. I want to encourage you to open up that Bible, look for the book of Acts. It's the fifth book of the Bible or the New Testament. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Go to the second chapter, and Heather is going to come. And she's going to read verse 42 through 47. Can we do this just for a change of position? Why don't we stand for the reading of God's word this morning, and then we'll be seated after that, okay? So, Heather, thank you so much. The words are also on the screen.
Acts 2, 42 through 47. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved.
All right, you may be seated. Thank you so much, Heather. Well, in this series, what we've been doing is basically focusing on the why question. And we've been talking about why is this Christian community so important, okay? Or we could rephrase it this way. Why is it important that we surround ourselves with other Christ followers? So that's what we've been talking about for the last 3 or 4 weeks. Why is Christian community important? Why is it important that we surround ourselves with other Christians? I do want to make it very clear, I'm not saying that we totally excommunicate ourselves from other unbelievers. I have other unbelieving friends in my life. I think that's very, very important. But there is a time where it's very, very, very essential that we have those people who are on the same page, going after the same vision, the same desires, okay? So throughout this series, I've shared why Christian community, 2 reasons why Christian community is important. Number one, we've been saying it's the vehicle that God uses to help us to grow in our faith, meaning that we're growing when we connect ourselves with a community of believers. See, the Christian life was never intended to be lived out or cultivated in solitude. Actually, quite the opposite. Solitude is a very dangerous place to be in the life of the believer. Does everybody agree with that? Very dangerous place to be. We need other Christians. God made us that way, that we need people that are going to come along and they're going to encourage us. They're going to be there with us. We're going to be there for one another. And the second reason why Christian community is so important, and we talked about this last week, we said everybody needs a spiritual support system. What is a spiritual support system? It's a group of people who provide us with the spiritual support and encouragement that we need to keep going. Don't give up, because there's times in our Christian walk where we can get discouraged, and we need people that come alongside of us and say, hey, keep going. You can do this. We can do it together. God's got wonderful things in store for your life, because we go through seasons. We go through seasons where there's discouragement. We go through seasons where it's difficult. And in those seasons, we're tempted to pull away where we should be actually drawing in, stepping into community, where there's other believers who might have gone through the same thing you've gone through. And you need people there when you're down, when you're out, when you feel like you're defeated, when you feel like quitting. You need other people that are going to say, hey, keep doing this. Keep going. I'm there. We together can make this happen. So it's very, very important that we stay in Christian community. Christian community is huge. Has everybody got that this morning? Are you convinced of that? Say yes. It's huge. So what does it look like? Well, that's what we've been doing in this whole series as we look through Acts 4 or 2, 42 through 47. We've been taking a look at what this community looks like. And in week one, we discovered that this Christian community was devoted. They were a devoted bunch. There's 3,000 people just recently gave their life to Christ. There's been no other church. This is the first church, and we see that they were devoted, meaning that that word means they were all in. And they were all into four things. They were all into the apostles' teaching. They didn't have the word of God. So today we're all into the teaching of God's word. We believe in the power of God's word. Week two, they were all into fellowship. Number three, they were all into sharing meals together. And number four, they were into prayer. And one of the forms of prayer is corporate prayer. And we'll be doing that again this at the end of the message. By the way, I want to look at one of those. Number three, they were sharing meals. How many people know that's a big deal? How many people know that's a big deal? It was funny. I was at Family Fresh this week. Surprise, surprise. And I ran into a lady from our church, and she was grocery shopping. And the reason why she was grocery shopping, because on that night, she was inviting people from church over to her house. And she's saying, really, I'm doing this because I've been hearing about it week after week in the sermons. And I thought, wow, somebody's listening. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? And it was funny, on Mother's Day, Grant called. He tries to call every Sunday. And usually the first question, you would hate to be my son, by the way. The first question I ask him is, did you go to church this morning? And that day he said, yes. And he was really, really excited. I could tell that something happened in his life. And I said, well, what happened? He said, Dad, after service, this young couple invited me and two other college students over to their house. And I tell you what, and then he went on to tell me that they had a plan at their church where they divided all the college students into groups of three, and then a family would come along and they would adopt those three college kids, and now they're responsible to invite those kids over for dinner, over for lunch, out to do certain things. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to do exactly what we're seeing in this text, is they're trying to build community. And I tell you what, as a father of a son who's living away from me in Chicago, I want to go to that church and say, awesome job. I want to go to that young couple and say, thank you for investing in my son. And I think that's what needs to be happening regularly in this place, not only with college students, but with one another. What would it look like if we cared for each other enough to open our house and invite somebody over for dinner? I know sometime a long, extended Bible study might be challenging for some, but everyone eats, right? Everyone's going to eat after church today. What would it look like if we were people that were sharing meals together, okay? So I want to encourage you to take a step of faith and maybe ask your spouse, or maybe you're even single, invite somebody out to lunch today, tomorrow, or next week. Just invite. That's a big part of this. So that's what they were doing. And fellowship, community is big time, okay? By the way, I want to let you know that community in the church right now is stronger than it's ever been in the church across the world. People are dying for community. People are hungering for people to go into community with. Week two, we looked at how they were generous people. They were a very generous group of people in the book of Acts here. And here's what they did. They gave their time, they gave their talent, and they gave their treasure. God did something amazing in their heart when they gave their life to Christ. And as a result, they no longer saw those things as their own, but they saw them as tools that God wanted to expand his kingdom, okay? Then week three, last week, we talked about that these people were meeting together daily. In the word that we use, they were meeting together. The word was frequency last week, how they were frequently getting together. And yes, I realize that this book was written 2,000 years ago, this passage. Yes, I realize that the culture was different, the setting was different, the time was different. We're not going to be able to meet together every day. But here's what I want us to get. They did prioritize a time. They did prioritize a time where they would meet together with their spiritual support system. They would meet together. They would say, this is the time we're going to do. And we see in church history, Sunday became that day, okay? So very, very important. One thing that I didn't say last week that has really been burning in my heart this week is to tell everyone. I want everybody to just take your back off the pew and just lean in just a little. Okay, I want to see everybody leaning in. Everybody leaning in. I want you to hear this morning, and this is for every single individual. Is everybody leaning? Is your neighbor leaning in? If not, you have my permission to pull their ear, okay? You make a difference when you show up. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, you make a difference when you show up. Was that awkward or what? Okay, I won't do that anymore today. You make a difference when you show up. If you read your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I think it's right there in verse 1, Paul says that we are a body, okay? We're a body. And he goes on to talk about how this body is made up of many different parts, okay? But here's the thing about each and every part. How many people know that each and every part is important? Amen? My big toe is as important as my pinky. How many people have ever heard a big toe before? You know, wow. But every piece of the body is important. So when you're here, when you show up, it's a big, big, big deal. See, I want to encourage you today. You may be the source of encouragement that somebody else needs this morning. There may be people here today that didn't like the music. There may have been people here today that aren't going to like the message. That's reality. But I tell you what, you may be the one who makes a difference just by spending time. Maybe it was before service. Maybe it was during the breakout time. Maybe it will be after the service this morning. Could it be that God wants to use you as well as he wants to use me today? He wants to use you, and he may want to use you to go up to somebody and encourage them. He may want to use you to go up to somebody and say, hey, how are things going? And when they tell you, hey, can I pray for you? See, we're a body. The pastor is no more important than you. Does everybody get that this morning? We are the body, and when we get together, you make a major, major, major difference. You say, well, not me, and I'm going to say, yes, you. You make a big difference. So I want to encourage you. We need to get together, and we need to meet together. So what I want to do today as we conclude this series, I want to look at a fourth and final quality that makes up Christian community. And actually, it's in verse 47. You don't need to open your Bible again. I'm going to read it to you. And I just want you to zone in on this verse, verse 47, the fourth ingredient that makes up Christian community. Luke writes this. And he says, all the while they were praising God. I love that. And they were enjoying the goodwill of all the people. I mean, this is a great place to be. And check out what it says in bold print. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Can we read that bold part together? And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So what we see here in this verse is we see some very exciting stuff going on. And that is that the Lord is at work and he's adding to their fellowship. He's adding to their church, not people coming from a different church because there was no other church. This is it. But what we see is the Lord's at work and what's happening is that people are getting saved every day. How many people know that's a big deal? Amen? So the church is growing. And I don't know about you, but I don't think of anything else in my life that's more exciting. That when people are coming, what they're doing is they're stepping out of darkness into life. They're going from being dead to being made alive, as it says in Ephesians. This is the greatest moment in the history of the world when people are coming. As Jesus says in Luke 15 that when people are coming to Christ, the angels are rejoicing. The angels are celebrating when people come to him. So this is an exciting moment. So the fourth and final quality of Christian community that I want us to look at today is this issue of growth. Can we say that together? Growth, okay? So what we see here in this verse is that the church, that the kingdom of God is growing. The kingdom is growing. People are coming to Christ more and more. I mean, it's just like this major movement. There's this major momentum that's taking place in the church, and people are coming to God. And here's what's happening. God is the one who's making it happen. That's what we see in the verse. It says, the Lord is the one who's doing the addition. How many people know it's God who brings the growth? Do we understand that this morning? I won't bore you too much with this, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul's saying, I planted a seed. Paulus, another guy in the ministry, came and he watered it. But he says, then God came and did what? Does anybody know? God brought the growth. So here's the plan. We do certain things, and then God comes along and does the things that only God can do. We plant, he waters. Then we plant, we water, and then God causes the growth. That's the pattern we see in Scripture. He plant, we plant, we water, God causes the growth, okay? And that's certainly true what's happening in this text, is they're doing certain things. There's certain activities that they were doing to prepare the soil for God to do some amazing things. So what I want to do this morning is I just want to talk to you briefly, okay? And I want to say this, there's certain things that we need to do as a church, that we're going to have to do as a church to prepare the soil for what God wants to do in this place. Because I really believe there's much, 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 much more than God wants to do in this church. Do you believe that this morning? Anyone? And what's going to happen, it's going to take us coming in partnership. We're going to have to do some partnership. We're going to have to do some preparing of the soil. So this morning what I want to do is I want to look at two big things that we need to do in order to prepare the soil for what God wants to do in this place. So I hope we're ready this morning. I hope our hearts are open and receptive to what we need to do. And here they are. We'll put them together. This needs to be a place where there's love, and this needs to be a place where there's unity. So the two big things that we need to be doing as a church, there needs to be love and there needs to be unity. There needs to be love. There's going to be unity. That's what needs to take place in the church. So let's touch on the first one, love. Don't you love that? Love. I love that word, love, okay? By the way, Jesus, check out what Jesus says about the importance of love among the believers. Jesus says to his disciples, let me give you a new command. Jesus says, love one another. Can we say that together? Love one another. Now, I want to let you know the context he's talking to his disciples. Are we to love the world? Absolutely, we're to love the world. But the context here is Jesus talking about believers are to, let's say it again, love one another. And then Jesus goes on to say, in the same way I loved you, you are to love one another. So what's he referring to? What kind of love did Jesus have for you and me? It's called unconditional. It's called sacrificial love. And that's the kind of love that you and I in this place are to have for one another. It's called sacrificial, unconditional. It's agape love. It's not based upon, did you perform the way I wanted you to perform? Did you behave the way I wanted you to behave? Jesus saying, no, that's not the way I loved you. He said, I loved you so much differently, and that's the way that you're to love one another. And he goes on to say, this is how everyone will recognize. That's so powerful, guys. Don't miss it. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples. When they see, not hear, but when they see the love you have for each other. So Jesus is putting a major priority, a major emphasis that our testimony to the world is there a group of people that really love one another? Are we really a group of people in this church that we love one another sacrificially? And we're going to pray about that in a few minutes. Because I believe that God's going to work in the degree that he wants to work. And I got to believe it's much greater than what we're seeing right now. We're going to have to be people who are sold out on this love for one another. Because how many people know there's power in love? Does anybody agree with me this morning? There's power in love. And why is that? Because if you turn on your TV, if you just look around, you see a world full of hatred, you see darkness, you see selfishness, but love has the power to break all those things down. And we are to be people, we need to be people in the church. The church needs to be marked by the love that they have for one another. And I love this verse from Paul in the book of Romans. This really hits you in the gut, okay? Paul says, hey, you church people, don't just pretend to love others. Have you ever pretended just to love somebody? How many people know they're going to figure it out? Don't just pretend to love others, but Paul says, really love them. Then he goes on to say, hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Then check out verse 10, love each other with genuine affection. Could you imagine that happening in this place? Dream with me, will you? Dream with me if we would begin to love each other with genuine affection. And then he concludes by saying, and take delight in honoring one another. Honor means you value who they are. You value what they say. You value who they are as a person. So we need to be loving and not just pretending. We need to be sacrificial. We need to be unconditional. And I don't know about you, but there's times I'm going to be honest with you, I can't do that. I got to confess, I can't love the way Jesus loved. Wretched man that I am. There's times I can't follow that verse out, but here's what Paul says. Paul is going to tell us it's not something that's natural. Is everybody hearing me this morning? It's supernatural. Look what Paul says in Galatians 5:23, where he's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Let's read this together. Just to get you engaged. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you know your Bible, that's referred to as what? The fruits of the Spirit. What's on top of the list? Everybody say it together. What's on top of the list?
Love.
And he's saying, hey, this isn't something you produce because I'm gonna try harder. How many people have gone that route before? I'm gonna try harder to love somebody and it blew up in your face. It's hard. But Paul's saying, hey, this isn't something you conjure up. This isn't something you try harder. It's the evidence. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, meaning when the Holy Spirit comes to live in your life, the evidence, the fruit is that now you'll begin to be able to love. You'll now be able to love Jesus or love like Jesus because there's one greater living inside of you who is God, the Holy Spirit. And his presence in you gives you the ability now to love one another. So the first thing that we need to do to prepare the soil for God to be at work in this church is we got to up the ante. We got to say, God, maybe we're a 4 out of a scale of 1 to 10. I don't know. But we need to be a church that says, okay, God, we're going to pray together. And God, would you kind of boost us up? God, boost us up to a 6. God, help us to be growing in this area of love. And I tell you what, if we'll be a people of love, we'll be like the song by Toby Mac. How many people like Toby Mac? When love is in the house, how's the song go? The house is packed. What would happen if this church really began to love? Love. We begin to love one another. We begin to love others. And it would not just be evident in the way what we speak, but it would be evident in what we talk about. It'd be powerful. Okay, let's go on to the second thing, and that is unity. If God's going to move in this house, guys, we've got to be unified. By the way, it's amazing to me, in John chapter 17, Jesus is just days away from going to the cross, and he's gathered with his disciples. So just imagine this. They're in a room with his disciples, and it says that Jesus began to pray for the disciples. And actually, this is the longest recorded prayer that Jesus prays in the Bible. And actually, it's often referred to as the high priestly prayer. And I want you to check out what Jesus prays for. Jesus says, I pray that they, who are they? Disciples. Not only in that day and time, but the disciples, everyone who would ever become a Christian. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they also be in us. And check out what it says. Check out the words here. So that the world will believe that you sent me. So let me ask you the question. How will the world know that Jesus had sent them? Does anybody want to take a step out on a limb? It's called unity. There's this unity that needs to take place. And that's what Jesus is praying for the disciples. So what is unity? Unity is oneness. It's oneness. I love that picture. To me, that's just a beautiful photo of what it should be in the church. It's not talking about uniformity. It doesn't talk that we all behave the same, talk the same, come from the same place, believe exactly everything identical, but there needs to be this oneness. And the oneness is in the fact that Jesus is the Lord of the church, the Lord of his people. Amen? And there needs to be a unity because Scripture talks about how when there's unity, there's power. And by the way, this unity begins with how we view ourselves, but it also includes how we view other people. We're not going to have unity in this place until we view one ourselves properly and we view one another properly. And you say, well, what does properly look like? Well, Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2, Paul writes these words, and just think about this. He says, don't be, everybody say that word together, selfish. By the way, the first thing that will kill unity in a church is selfishness. When we come with our agenda, we come with our plan, we come with what we want, it's all about us, that's what's going to kill unity. He says, don't be selfish. And I love the second line, don't try to impress others. And everybody should say, oh, that's a relief. But he says this, he says, hey guys, be humble. Think of others. And think of others as better than yourself. And he's not saying put yourself down. He's saying, hey, yeah, think how, just put others above you. And he says, don't look out only for your own interests. But he says, hey, take an interest in what other people are doing too. Take an interest in others. So a unity comes when we're in this thing together. We're not being selfish. We're not trying to impress others. We're humble. We're making the people feel like they're honored. We're here and we're not only looking out for our own interests. Our conversations aren't one-sided about look at me and look at my family. This is awesome. But it's like we're taking genuine interest. What would this place look like if people took a genuine interest in other people? What would it look like when we broke bread together at tables that maybe it wasn't you talking, but it was you listening? And you really beginning to listen about what are the needs in their life? What are the interests in their life? What about their kids? What about their marriage? And we would become interested in other people too. See, that's what's going to build unity when we care for one another. So we need to get into this place, okay? By the way, this whole issue of unity is one of our values. And in the fall, we're going to talk about all of our values in a sermon series. So what I want to do in conclusion is this, to say that our love for each other and the unity we have for each other is the proof to the unbelieving world around us that God's real, that God's real and he's going to work. And what I want to do today is I want to end with some words from a theologian and pastor whose name is Francis Schaeffer. And Francis Schaeffer put this all in perspective when he was talking about our love and our unity. And he said this, he noted that the observable love of Christians was what he called the final apologetic. Has anybody ever heard that word before, apologetic? I'll talk about that in a second. So what does that mean? Well, look at this quote by a lady named Heather Zempel. I want to read you this quote. And she's going to help us with this word of apologetics. She says, apologetics is basically a branch of theology that's concerned with the defense of Christian faith. So we defend our faith with our apologetics. And we often think of it in terms of defending the history and the truthfulness of Scripture. That's what apologetics, that's what those people do, okay? But she says this, but Schaeffer, Francis Schaeffer, makes a statement that moves apologetics from the cerebral to the practical. And she says this, he states that we, the family of God, the body of Christ, the church, the community that we experience should be the ultimate and final proof of God. And then she says this, she says, at the end of the day, the definitive proof is the way we relate to one another. That, my friends, according to Francis Schaeffer, is the final apologetic. We can have all of our theology correct. We could dot all the I's. We could cross all the T's. But the definitive proof is in the way that you and I relate to one another. When we're in this community on Sunday morning, how do we relate to one another? But it's so important that it doesn't stop there. How do we relate to each other throughout the week? How do we relate to each other when we go out for a cup of coffee? How do we relate to each other when we go out and we break bread together at each other's house? See, the world is watching and they're saying these Christians are a bunch of hypocrites. Why would I want to be one of them? And what the world needs to see is that there's people that are truly loving and there's people who are truly in unity together. And that will be the final apologetic. That will help people to say that, yes, there is a God. So it's not just about me preaching sermons, you guys. It's about us living life together. It's about us loving one another. It's about us being in unity together. And when people begin to hear of a church where there's truly love, where there's truly unity for one another, people are going to want to jump in because we can't find that in the world. And actually, people are finding that in other places, and it's sad. The church should be the place where people love unconditionally. The church should be the place where people are unified. And when those two things are put together, then God shows up and he does some amazing things. And people will be added to our number. People will be coming in here getting saved. But I really believe there's some foundational work that I'm not only responsible for, certainly I am responsible, but every one of us, and I want to challenge you today, I want to double dog dare you to say, hey, I'm going to pray for a greater infilling of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to pray that Holy Spirit, help me to be able to love. Holy Spirit, help me to be I want to be involved in the unity of the church. I don't want to be talking bad about church. I want to lift up the church and build the church. So I want to give you a couple closing questions. Number one is this. What do you think is the condition of our soil at this church? Don't answer out loud. That could be embarrassing. But think about it. When you look at the condition of our soil, would you say that this is a church that loves one another? Would you say this is a church where there's unity? I think there's a degree of that. But do I think that we could get better? And everyone together said, yes. So let me ask you the second question. Do we relate to one another with love and unity? Do we relate to everyone, not just certain people, but do we relate to one another in love and unity? I want to challenge you as we close this series on community. I just want to challenge you with this. I just feel like this coming together and getting to know one another is a big part of this community, is that we need to just open ourselves up outside the walls of the church. This is 1 hour a week. Come on, Florence. It's got to be more than this. That we need to just invite each other and get to know one another. I just want to challenge, maybe God's putting on your heart to invite somebody over to your house or you take them out or whatever. I just want to encourage you, let's just go get out of our comfort zones and let's get to know one another. And it's going to be great. It's going to be great. So I just want to encourage you, why don't we stand to our feet. Thank you for being here this morning. Don't rush out the door if you don't have to. I know some people need to rush, but if you can stay and talk to a couple people. By the way, Jeremiah and Tony will be on my right. Dan and Veronica will be on my left. If you need prayer for anything whatsoever, they'll be more than willing to pray for you this morning. And let's just go out and let's live our life this week. Let's be people of love and unity. Let's live for Christ. God bless you. Have an awesome, awesome week, and we'll see you next week. God bless you. Bye-bye.